Greetings and welcome to the Cathartic Yardstick Podcast with Ray and Mark, two experienced subject matter experts who have learned from their mistakes and can now repeat them with precision.
The Yetis are fired up, and welcome to the Cathartic Yardstick Podcast. I'm Ray, and joining me is Mark, 300 miles to the south. It's hot here, so I imagine it's pretty hot down there. Is it, Mark?
It is very hot. It was about 95 today.
Wow.
But I'm not really 300 miles to the south. I'm right here. You're like 300 miles to the north.
Oh, okay.
So you stand corrected, young man.
Although, through the miracle of digital technology, it sounds like you were right here in my head.
I am right
here. As you usually
are. I am always in your head.
You are.
It's a very dangerous place for me to be.
Yes. You proceed at your own risk. Well, let's see. What would
so
you
what
like
to
talk
about today, right?
This is, in many respects, our second pilot. We did that brief one last week, and we recorded a few days ago and had a few technical glitches, but things are sounding pretty good today. So I may see if there's anything that can be salvaged from that earlier one we did this week and combine it with this one as kind of a second pilot episode where we're just going to talk a little bit about the podcast, ramble a little bit, maybe tell a few stories, and then we'll set it up for what will be a series of topical podcasts.
I can't
so
wait.
So one of the things we talked about a couple of days ago was what we weren't going to talk about. And I think we're going to steer clear of like politics and other sensitive issues because I don't want to have to parse every single word. And it just, it's too hard. And I'd probably end up editing out all of it anyway.
And people are burnt out. They're fried. They need a break.
I think we'll just keep this unique to who we are. And one of the things that, well, not unique to us, but that we have in common is we are both Canadian Americans, which is a phrase you rarely hear. There's not much of a Canadian identity in this country. Nous sommes Québécois.
Je débarque sur la plage de Normandie le 6 juin 1944.
But you know, I don't think I've ever heard the phrase Canadian American in my life. French Canadian, yeah. If anything,
it was French Canadian.
That's also an identity within Canada too. We just got back from week in Montreal.
Yep.
Well, Montreal and Newfoundland, and just the difference crossing the border into Quebec, and when you go to the other provinces, it's almost like it's a different country by design.
I think it's actually fascinating that you mention that because, believe it or not, in my many, many years on the planet, I've never actually thought about that, but you're absolutely right. The whole time I was growing up, the only thing I'm concerned about nationality-wise is I'm French-Canadian. I'm not Canadian-American. It's like I'm American, but my DNA is French-Canadian. That's interesting.
Oh my gosh, I've hit the wall again. I've done some, what's the word? Research, ancestry.
Research? Thinking?
No, what's the word for... Genealogy. Thank you.
DNA test?
I've done some genealogy work. And,
genealogy?
And yes. And,
sounds like the password is genealogy.
So I've, and in all the census records and military like draft cards of my grandparents, it always lists them as Canadian-French, which is interesting that that's such a distinctive mark on all those records. And if you look at the provincial flags, they're all, I know, very British. Like the Newfoundland flag is basically the Union Jack with slightly different colors. And a bunch of them have a small British flag somewhere embedded in their field. But the Quebec flag is very French. It's just fleur-de-lis. I mean, it couldn't be more French, really.
Now, let's compare backgrounds. For my background, my family, back in the probably mid to late 1800s, came down from Quebec and started working in the mills in upstate New York, Gahoes to be specific. And that's where we've been ever since. It was a very ethnic French-Canadian pocket where the school day was taught in French And really, our generation is the first one to actually sort of leave the city. So it's a very tight little ethnic pocket. How about you?
Yeah, same thing. My family came through New England, came down that way. And all through the Northeast, there's little French-Canadian enclaves. And in my hometown, we had a French club. There was a French church. They still have mass in French there. My grandfather used to hang out at the French club. And, you know, I look at old family pictures of everyone from that generation, and I've only recently realized they're all talking French in those pictures. There's no sound, but that was everyone's first language. And my father spoke French in his home till he started school, and just had too many problems adjusting to school because it wasn't, there was no bilingual education back then. So that's when his family stopped speaking French at home. So, it was a huge part of the identity back then.
And what I know for Gahoz, New York, I know there was a French-Canadian pocket, but there was also like a Ukrainian pocket, an Italian pocket, and every neighborhood had their own church. And so what I wonder about is I wonder how many guys there were around our age, like in the 1850s, 60s in Gahoz, that basically said, oh, I remember what it was like growing up. This was quite a quiet rural place, but now there's these huge factories and we're on the cutting edge of industry, and these Canucks are just coming down in hordes taking all our jobs. What's going on?
That's the word I heard a lot as a kid. It was Canuck, but Canucks. Never Canadian American.
Right. Now what I remember is I remember you did not want to get labeled a Canuck because that was like a backwoods kind of thing.
Yeah.
You really want to stress the French. Mm-hmm. So on the North way, it's prendre la sortie, not prendre la exit.
Yeah, and proper French was a big deal because I remember my mother always insisting that her mother spoke the right French, the Parisian French,
right,
versus the Québécois, which is more of a dialect than the pure French.
Now, I remember as a little kid, my dad was an exec for Thomson Houston, which was part of French General Electric. And I can remember I was kind of, we had these pocket doors in this old Victorian house we were renting. And I can remember kind of being quadranted off in the kitchen because my mom and dad were entertaining engineers from France. So I can remember that happening. And it's only recently I was talking to my older brother, who basically said, yeah, what you didn't see is you didn't see that mom and dad were sweating bullets when those people came over. They were so terrified that they would say something or use the wrong word or the wrong pronunciation, and it would all come down, and they'd look like a bunch of hicks.
A bunch of Canucks. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. What else we want to hit?
One thing that's been interesting about doing this is I think we're both laboring under the shared delusion that we're doing radio. We worry a little too much about transitions and blank space, and we can edit that all out. I still think when I'm sitting here that this is going out live to the world.
That's the way I approach it.
Yeah, so. That's the way I think about it too, but it's not, and it's hard to get out of that mindset.
I'm always thinking of having an index card where we segue from topic to topic. And now a word from our sponsor, Brill Cream.
A little dab will do you.
A little. Was that Brill Cream or was that Dippity Doo? Was it a little dab?
Oh,
that probably was Brill Cream. A little dab will do you.
Yeah, I think it was Brill Cream.
That was a long time ago. Should we tell the dreadful story about the photo?
We should tell that story because it's an amusing anecdote.
I don't know if it's going to be amusing to anyone else. I just find it absolutely surreal. But the basic story from my perspective is back in high school, I ran track and cross country. I had a kind of a cool Pentax K1000 camera that I would occasionally bring with me. And when my track event was done, and there was still like 2.5 hours of different events, I would wander around and take photos, try to take action shots of folks running or doing the pole vault, whatever. And so I graduate high school, head off to college. And in college, there was a runner there by the name of, dare I say it, Tom Dalton, who had quite a reputation, very good distance runner. And so I didn't really realize how large Tom's legend loomed, I guess. But I was hanging around with Tom, and he was running a race, so I figured I'd take a couple of action shots of Tom. And so I take a couple of pictures. You know, they came out really well. And so I'm sitting there in my dorm, and suddenly I hear at my door, and I go, yes. And they said, hey, I was wondering if you could do me a favor. We're running an article in the school paper on Tom, and we hear you have a photo. Could we use it? And I'm thinking, well, sure, why not? You know, I don't know how people hear these things, but so I gave him the photo, and sure enough, in the school paper, poof, there's my photo. So I'm kind of looking at it, and I'm thinking, wow, it's a nice photo. It came out really good. Looks very professional. A little photo credit would be nice, but hey, that's okay. It's not about me. It's just a photo, and I'll never see it again. It's kind of cool to say I had a photo that was published. Well, you know, a couple of weeks later, there's an article that appears in our local paper. There's my freaking photo. No, no photo credit. So now I'm getting a little irritated saying, well, it's great that the photo's getting this kind of penetration here, but, you know, there's no photo credit. What's going on? Well, next thing you know, it's like they're running more articles, and it's like my photo. And Ray, didn't you say for a while it was right in the Alumni Recreation Center?
I believe it was in the lobby. It was kind of like a... kind of like an honor roll, like, you know, past athletes at Siena, and that picture was there. I seem to remember it being there. And it's been in the newspaper up here several times. It just has a life of its own.
It was in the yearbook, you know, and it's just because the topic has always kind of annoyed me. I was never able to go for a very significant amount of time without that thing popping me in the face again. And what's so funny is you fast forward, like, 30 some odd years. What was it, about 4 or 5 years ago, right? I came up to visit.
Yep.
And,
yep.
And we go out to a local sports bar, and I've never been there, but we, you know, we step inside and you can see like State University of New York, and they have a bunch of, you know, SUNY athletes doing their thing. And then Union College, they have a Union College wall. And we walk right past a Siena wall. There's my photo. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was very close to the door too. It's like one of the first things you see when you walk in the place is your picture of Tom.
It's like, I'm getting thwacked. And so so we have a rare opportunity here that I hear that that Ray is going to be posting that photo. So are you going to post it with my photo credit? It's just like 40 years late.
I don't think we should break the pattern and put a photo credit on it. I think it'll just go on the website without a photo credit.
You know what's going to be happening is, you know, someday I'm going to keel over, my obit's going to be in the paper, and they're going to put, like, you know, Tom Dalton's picture, you know, and they can get my name wrong or something. Yeah. And that photo's going to run just to harass me, just to rub salt in the wound. But we did do a little detective work during our dry run, and I learned something I never knew before. Oh. Ray knows the identity of the little weasel who took my picture and sent it over to the Albany Times Union with no photo credit. Ray, I think it's time for you to divulge the identity of the weasel.
Well, it was me. I have to confess. I can't remember which year that was. It probably junior year in college. I was photo editor of the newspaper, and I got a call from the Times Union, and they were doing an article on Tom. And they said, do you have a picture? I said, oh, yeah, I got a great picture of him. So I sent them the picture. That became their file photo of Tom Dalton. And, you know, he's been in a lot of races in the area since then. And every once in a while, they trot that photo out with no credit.
Now, my brother was heavily into the local boxing scene. And I was telling him that story. He turns around and he goes, that is so common when you're talking about sports photos. It's like, you know, try to hang on to photo credit. Somebody's going to take it and use it. It's just a mishmash. But so anyways, apparently I'm in good company, but that was my little harassing thing, I guess. So it's that photo that I will see again, I'm sure, in a national publication.
Right.
But this kind of stuff happens to you, and you just learn from it. It's an important life lesson.
That's right. Get credits. Well,
it's not about credits.
Watermark all your photos, whatever you can do. So I should probably put that on Instagram so everyone can see it too and share it.
What, the photo?
On the Instagram. Photo.
The photo.
Instagram. Instagram, yeah.
And meanwhile, Tom Dalton's going to be going to work going, hey, wait a minute, that's me. That's me. Why are they talking about me?
Hashtag Tom Dalton.
Oh, my gosh. So what other good stuff is there to talk about? Anything else for tonight's episode?
Well, I've spent part of the day thinking about time travel. Because I was thinking, you know, if there were time travelers, wouldn't we have encountered one by now? Let's say before the sun goes supernova, we've got millions and millions of years. If they invent time travel, wouldn't this be prime vacation spot? Wouldn't people be traveling back to the past for vacations? And
unless the people who actually have the technology to do time travel realize that it's very easy to kind of mess with the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come back, but they are very discreet about what they do. They don't come back and announce who they are.
Yeah, someone would have slipped up. Someone would have left something.
You would think. Yeah. Human beings are very imperfect by nature.
That's right. But I was thinking about it. You know, not to get into theory of special relativity or any of that. Pretty much everything to do with time has to do with either massive amounts of gravity or massive speed. And it just involves the dilation of time. You know, if you're in an extreme gravitational field or moving extremely fast, time gets dilated and travels slowly relative to someone who's not in that gravitational field or moving that fast. But that doesn't say anything about, like, going backward in time.
I always wondered about, you know, my dad passed away when I was, like, 8.
Oh, okay.
And so I always wondered, what would it be like to go back? And, I mean, obviously you wouldn't want to knock at the door and say, hey, guess what? I'm here from the future.
Right.
We never had a chance to have, you know, an adult-adult conversation or an adult to somebody who looks like an adult conversation. And so let's sit down and chat, you know. But I always wondered, it'd be kind of cool just to hang around and observe what was somebody like as an adult, because I only knew him as a little kid, you know, that right. kind of thing. But I mean, there's different periods of time that fascinate me, like, you know, the 1800s. What must Gehoe's New York have been like when it really was, you know, the largest mill in, like, the world at the time,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. It was the heyday, theaters and restaurants, and it'd be kind of cool. But I have seen the old 60s show Time Tunnel, and so I realize it's going to be a mess no matter where you go. You're going to be in the middle of something bad. You're going to get arrested. You're going to stand out. You're always going to be hiding. You're going to be like a fugitive.
Right.
You don't belong.
That's always the trope, is you're being chased down by the authorities.
That's right.
Because you pose a threat to society.
That's right. So it's a lot like being Bob Lazar, and these black SUVs are following you.
Interesting character. And we should talk about that sometime, too.
Okay, I think we should.
So the question I came up with today, I was thinking, everyone hoards something. What do you hoard?
This is a difficult thing to answer. I love collecting things, but I'm also very thorough when I collect something. So it will turn almost into hoarding, and so I'm very mm-hmm. careful about what I collect.
But is there anything that you keep more of than it makes any sense, that you attach an undue amount of importance to, that you just can't get rid of?
Beatles memorabilia.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. For me, it's wood scraps. And I say that as I'm sitting here in the garage where I do this. And there's a huge pile of wood scraps.
That's so strange.
Know, pieces
right?
of wood next to me. I do woodworking, and my father did the same thing.
Wow.
Yeah, every once in a while, I'll clean out the bin, but I've got pieces that I'll never use that I've been hanging on to for 20 years. And you think, well, you know, I could do something with that. This was a nice piece of wood, you know. Or you'll think about, well, what else did I make from the same board? You know, maybe I made a box or something for the kids, and I just hang on to
that
it.
That is interesting. Now, lately, we've been hoarding Necco wafers because the Necco factory is kaput.
Is it really?
Yes. It was going out of business. They did a sale to a candy company, and the candy company at the last minute backed out. And so they sold it to another candy company, but they've stopped manufacturing Necco wafers. So we were hoarding Necco wafers for a while because Susan likes Neccos.
They taste like chalk, don't they? They're pretty
sort of, kind of, but they're good. They're kind of like those little candy hearts. Remember Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Same company.
They're pretty chalky too.
Yeah, well, we
get. Yeah, Necco wafers remind me of many long trips sitting in the middle of a back seat driving to Maine.
Hoarding Necco. What do you hoard? Are you anything else other than wood?
I hoard cigar mugs. Cigar. I always say cigar. It's cigars. Let me write that down. I hoard cigar boxes.
I'm going to make you say cigar box every single
it's
podcast.
It's a cigar box podcast.
That's right. We have our topic soared in a cigar box on Ray's Porridge.
Oh. I hang on to them. My great grandfather, who lived with my parents for a while, smoked cigars. So we had a lot of boxes around. And my father always kept all his odds and ends in the boxes, in the tea boxes.
What kind of boxes?
The cigar boxes. You know, I have to read it. I have to look at it. I can't just say it.
That's funny.
Cigar boxes.
That's funny.
So, I've got a lot scattered around the garage. I mean, they're great. It's reusing something. If you go to the cigar store, you can get them for like 50 cents, a dollar. And some of them are just like really nice. They're all wood.
Yeah.
I've used the wood out of them, recycled it to make other projects. And it's just a thing.
Cool. Well, we also have a topic for our next podcast, don't we?
We do.
What's it going to be, Ray?
It's going to be ghosts.
Ooh, it's cool.
We will have some. We'll have to see if we ever get off that topic, since that's a favorite of both of ours.
It is. I sleep with the light on, but that's a cool topic.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we will have some ghost stories, some real ghost stories that we've each had some experiences that could be attributed to otherworldly things. And we'll talk about that next time.
Sure. There'll be ghosts. There'll be UFOs, right?
Yep.
We can talk about the Bermuda Triangle, maybe.
Maybe.
And time travel.
Well, there's no time travel. We already settled that.
We settled that in the future.
We settled that.
I got it.
We settled it. We settled that in the past. No need. Okay.
All right. No need. Forget it. No time travel. Relationship advice. We said no legal advice.
No legal advice.
But relationship advice, it depends on how good the question is.
Yeah. So, okay. But again, we will judge you. So be prepared.
You can judge us. That's okay.
Yeah.
You can say that is the crappiest advice I have ever heard in my life. Or these guys are actually pretty smart. They know stuff about stuff. You do learn a thing or two walking around the planet for this number of years.
You've been listening to the Cathartic Yardstick Podcast. Join us again as we try to harvest some chunks of podcast gold.
Cigar. I can't say it. Cigar.